It was their cover of the Lennon-McCartney composition, A World Without Love, that rocketed the 1960s British invasion duo Peter and Gordon to international fame. Seems that Peter Asher has always had the ear for a good song or a good singer. He moved to Los Angeles in the early 70s after spending some time as director of A&R at the Beatles' Apple Records label. It was there that he discovered and signed a young artist named James Taylor. That led to his management firm, Asher Management, with a legendary client list that included Linda Ronstadt, Carole King, Elton John, Diana Ross, so many more. Peter Asher never lost his love of performing live, and he's back on the road with a tour called Peter Asher, a musical memoir of the 60s and beyond, set to visit the 20th Century Theater in Oakley on January 10th. Let's talk a little bit about the tour. Who's in your band?
Sure. So me and a mini band. I've just got a keyboard player and a bass player. And, you know, because I've done various configurations. This one is me kind of telling stories and singing songs with a whole bunch of video. It's like a multimedia show and a couple of great musicians who both sing and play with me.
And it's in conjunction with your new book, Mr. Asher?
Well, kind of. I mean, everything all fits together. I mean, the book actually had its origin in the radio show that I do. You know, I have a show on Sirius XM on the Beatles channel. And I did a series of episodes of that radio show based around the alphabet. And so, you know, using the alphabet not in a serious encyclopedic way, but more in a kind of Sesame Street way, you know, of grabbing a particular letter and following it wherever it led me. And so it was actually a publishing company, Henry Holt, who someone there fell in love with the show and said, well, this would make a great book. So and I went, okay, cool. So I had to do a great deal of rewriting. Of what, you know, what one rambles about on the radio is not necessarily doesn't necessarily work when you transfer to the printed page. So I did a big rewrite. And yes, so it, and then the tour coincides with and obviously relates to. But the show is not specifically Beatle-oriented. The show is, I talk about my career in the overall sense, you know, both my production work and obviously the time I was at Apple working with the Beatles and sort of everything else. So it covers several decades since I'm so old.
I'm thinking that people who come to your shows may have learned their alphabet from Sesame Street, so that's not a bad thing at all.
Not at all, no. We love Sesame Street.
The title of the book is The Beatles from A to Z. The title of your radio show is From Me to You. And one review said that it's a fun, lighthearted book from one Beatles fan to another. So at the bottom of
true.
It all, you're just a fan of the Beatles, right?
I am. I'm a fan who is also a musician and a producer and also had the good fortune to be there, you know, for a lot of the events in the Beatles' lives and to work with them.
What's the timeline with Peter and Gordon? Were you touring at the same time as the Beatles?
Yes, we were. We only toured with them once, actually, which was in Germany. I mean, I went with them to a number of gigs, but the only time we actually shared a bill with them was in a tour of Germany, which was fun at the sort of peak of global Beatlemania. So it was fascinating.
Why do you think there's so much interest and love for the 1960s?
Well, because it was such an extraordinary and unexpected kind of event. I mean, it's still hard to explain to people how surprising it was, because now everyone is very used to the fact that Britain and America, you know, bounce music back and forth all the time. You know, the new great acts emerge from America and emerge from Britain. But, you know, back in the 50s, it was all American. I mean, America owned rock and roll. America invented rock and roll. The whole of American music, starting obviously with, you know, R&B and jazz and folk music and everything else, we loved all of it, and it was all very American. You've got to remember, when the Beatles started, or Peter and Gordon started, we were like tribute bands. You know, the Beatles were not to any particular act, but to American music. Until the Beatles started writing their own songs, which, of course, it turned out they did rather well, I don't think they sang a single English song. You know, it was all our love for American music, and nobody expected American acts to succeed in America, because they never did. I mean, with the possible couple of odd exceptions, like Lonnie Donegan's Rock Island Line or, you know, whatever, British acts did not break in America. That was kind of the rule. So when the Beatles changed all that so completely, you know, it became a gigantic musical event, and I think that's why people are so fascinated by it. And, you know, we were fascinated by America as a whole. The music was just one aspect of everything. You know, we were all growing up in this black and white post-war rationing till 1956, you know, version of a country. And we looked across the Atlantic, and America was just the land of plenty and technicolor and just a whole other world that we were super impressed by. So it was a big deal to us, and of course became a big deal to America. For whatever reason, America just fell in love with our slightly tweaked version of your music. You
know? My guest is Peter Asher, legendary singer, songwriter, producer, manager, A&R guy. After the British invasion thing, you headed over here and started your firm in Los Angeles and signed one or two or 50 legendary artists. Drop a couple of names. Who did you discover? Who did you sign?
Well, in the show business vernacular, discovered James Taylor. And that happened in London, oddly enough. He was visiting London, and we had a mutual friend in America, a guitar player, Danny Korchmar, who had played with Peter and Gordon, and we'd become great friends. And he was then in a band with his childhood friend, James Taylor. They'd known each other since they were 12 or so. And when James came to London after that band broke up, Danny gave him my phone number, Danny Korchmar, the guitar player. So he sort of called me up out of the blue and came over to my flat and played me a little tape he'd made. This was when I had just got a new job as head of A&R for the Beatles record label, Apple. And I went crazy and signed him to Apple, which was my job at the time. And then when Apple started to fall apart, we agreed that I would become his manager as well as his producer. And I kind of bet my career on his and headed off to America with, you know, nothing really concrete except for my conviction that James was incredibly good. And so, you know, as I said, I bet my career on his, which turned out to be a fairly good bet. And so that was the beginning, and I managed James for the next 25 years or so. And then following that, I ended up managing, you know, Linda Ronstadt and Joni Mitchell and Carole King and Randy Newman, a whole lot of other people of whom I was a gigantic fan, for whom it was an honor to work.
Well, you said you came here with nothing much besides James Taylor and your conviction, but you also brought your ears. You have always been able to hear a hit song or a unique voice. Have you ever been able to define it? Is there a formula?
No. If there was, I'd be a billionaire. You know, I don't think there is. You know, you kind of know it when you hear it, I think. Mm-hmm. And you know, it most people do. I mean, as soon as you first time you hear the Beatles, it didn't take a genius to kind of go, this is different and better than most of what I'm hearing. And the same applies now. You know, one of the things I've never been is one of those, you know, oh, they don't write songs like that anymore. You know, back in my day, the music was wonderful, and now it's all crap. You know, that's so far from being true. I think the reason some people feel that way is that when you look back at earlier decades, you only remember the good stuff, you know? Whatever you consider your best decade, there's some people that go, oh, the songs in the 30s or the 60s or whatever were just better. And of course, you're looking back and you're forgetting all the crappy music that which every decade has. You're just remembering the good stuff. But I'm absolutely convinced there's just as much great talent and great writing and great musicians out there now as there ever were. And I continue to, when I hear new music that really impresses me, I'm as happy now as I was back then.
Do you still get a chance to sit down behind the console and push the faders?
I do. Yes, I do. And I love doing that. Producing records. I mean, people sometimes ask, you know, which is my favorite of the various things I do, performing or producing or, you know, I don't manage anymore. That was something I did give up. But, you know, and my favorite thing is the fact that I get to do all of it. But if I did have to choose, if I was compelled to pick one profession out of the various odds and ends I get up to, it would be producing records. It would be being in the studio. The very first day when Gordon and I made our very first record, that day I was enthralled by the process, and I knew then and there that I wanted to be a record producer because, you know, having the facility to be able to think about arrangements and sounds and put all that together and hire brilliant musicians much better than yourself and tell them what to do, I thought that was brilliant. So I still love doing that.
Well, as someone who grew up to records that you produced, thank you for all the wonderful music.
Oh, thank you very much. It's very kind of you.
And you've loved performing live all these years, too, and you're doing it again on the road. Peter Asher will be here in Cincinnati on January 10th for a performance at the 20th Century Theater. Music, multimedia, stories, and so much more. Mr. Asher, safe travels on the road.
That's exactly it, yes. Thank you very much. Perhaps I'll see you there. If you get a chance to come, please do come and say hello.
I'd love to.
We have a lot of fun.
Thank you so very much.
It's the kind of audience participation thing, too. I love it when the audience ask questions or talk back or heckle or whatever. I love that part of the show. So it's a joint effort.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Great talking to you.
Thank you. Too. Peter Asher's life is one that you can't make up. From musical royalty to flat out royal royalty. In 2015, Peter Asher was awarded the Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. He's seen and heard it all. He's on the radio. He's an author. He's a musician. And Peter Asher continues to create great music. He'll bring his act to the stage at the 20th Century Theater on the 10th of January for the Musical Memoir of the 60s and Beyond performance. For a link to Peter Asher's music, his book, his Sirius radio show, and more, visit our website, WVXU.org. For 91.7, I'm Elaine Deal.
It isn't what she's got to say, or how she thinks, or where she's been. To me, the words are nice, the way they sound. I'd like to hear them best that way. It doesn't much matter what they mean, but she says them mostly just to calm me down. I feel fine anytime she's around me now. She's around me now almost all the time. And if I'm well, you can tell that she's been with me now. She's been with me now quite a long, long time. Yes, and I feel fine.